Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping Ahsoka, Dreams of Madness, in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And we have an incredible guest here today. I'm so happy to invite on a man that does podcast without his microphone. He just uses the Force. It's Khalil from the Comic Boys podcast. How's it going, man?
I mean, our name's changed. Oh, well, it's complicated. Anyways, I'm doing good. I'm not going to try to get started on this. Also, I am using a mic. What are you talking about? I don't know.
Well, you're like Ezra. You just you don't need the equipment. You just got the Force.
No, I don't. I do have a mic, though. it's just hidden because my camera's pointing up.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been so long since I've been on any of your podcasts. I was starting to feel a little bit lonely. I just vanished and...
It was Andor we last talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. So wow, you're back for Star Wars.
I mean, I was supposed to go on the first episode and then I forgot I was on vacation. So
yeah. And I've done a really bad job scheduling. So look, just like Ahsoka, you're arriving a little late here in your space whale, but you're here nonetheless.
I am here. So I'm just posting the thing to the story so people could see what I'm doing. Okay. Yes, I'm here nonetheless.
Khalil, like I kind of talked to you before the show, I don't know what your takes are at all on the show. I think I can guess, but I want you to lay it out for me. What have you thought about Ahsoka thus far?
I love this show more than I loved anything Star Wars since probably the original trilogy, and I include the Clone Wars in that. I think this is pure brilliance. I think it is made even better by the fact that they finally have a direction. And because I don't think we've talked about Star Wars since we actually found out that they actually have a plan and that they intend on ending this kind of new Empire era with a movie where, I mean, I guess spoilers for the next episode, which I haven't seen yet, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. Thrawn is not going to die and he's going to restart the Empire and it's going to be glorious and that is going to be the movie. Again, if you couldn't draw that from them saying there's going to be a movie, then I'm sorry, I guess. But yeah.
And also we're getting some Thrawn content here, but we just haven't seen him at his full potential yet. And we're definitely getting that and it's not going to be wrapped up in a finale by any means.
Oh, we got so many hints, though.
Yeah.
And this episode that we're talking about specifically, there were so many moments where I was just like, that's Thrawn. That's just pure Thrawn.
That's true. We're definitely getting a good taste of him here. I got to say, I don't know. It's tough because every episode I'm like, is this one my favorite? I'm not sure. I don't know that this one was my favorite, but there was just so much good stuff here. So many smart choices that are made throughout the entire episode that It makes me maybe a little sad that like we didn't have this sort of direction for the sequel movies. Like I feel like this is what the sequels should have been.
Right. No, I agree. I think the biggest problem with Star Wars, and people like can say whatever they want about all the other things, but the biggest problem with Star Wars is they haven't had a direction, right? Like Kathleen Kennedy wanted to do something, but her version of a direction, and this is not a shot at her because again, you know, I'm not like one of the anti Kathleen Kennedy people. But her idea of direction was, let's give these talented directors a movie and then let's take it away from them and give it to somebody else, right? Like that was quite literally what she did. And it didn't work because you look at Marvel and you look at what DC's trying to do and how their success is always direction, right? Because story consistency is key.
Yep, very well said. So, and again, we did a podcast a while back talking about some of this stuff, and I think it was probably like a dark time for us, and here we are back. We kind of know where we're going with everything, and it's great. It's all rainbows and sunshine on the other road. I don't know. Then again, we should never, you know, count our eggs before they hatch with Star Wars.
Well, can I tell you something, which I just literally broke, or I guess started coming out before we started recording this. It looks like the Knights of the Old Republic remake is dead.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily surprise me, unfortunately, but...
I mean, some very bad things out of some of the camps, and then a disgusting film on Twitter just said they've privated all the, like, teaser posters and stuff. It's... Yeah.
This is what they do, though. Star Wars is gonna Star Wars.
Video game Star Wars especially. They can't do anything right except for, like, the games that they've...
The Jedi games. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only played the first one. and I couldn't finish it. So.
And well, I think you should, because here's my theory. If we're talking about the Dave Filoni movie, I 100% expect those characters to roll over in that movie as well. It's going to be like the end game of Star Wars.
I'll just probably watch someone who can play video games, because I don't like video. Outside of like Spider-Man, I don't care about any video games anymore.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. All right. And, well, and Knights of the Republic, if they actually ever came out, but you know.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Okay. Well, let's dive into the episode here. And we do open on I figured to be a really crazy scene. We kind of get Hera here reporting back to Mon Mothma. You know, this other senator is upset with her. But we get an interesting cameo here from C-3PO, who's bringing a message from Leia, which I just got to say, I thought this was a really smart way of kind of including Leia without having Leia or like a CGI Leia. You know, C-3PO kind of coming in, acting in her stead. It was a lot of fun. What did you think of this whole scene?
Okay. So outside of the fact that I was jumping up and down like a child, and actually it really sucks because I don't have my Bloodline book with me. Otherwise, I would have brought that one out. I've got two other books here. Those are my props for later. But I'll tell you this. I fully expected, like, it's set up for like someone like Leia to show up, but I expected it to be in a hologram form. I thought it would be R2-D2 with the hologram. And especially because then you could mimic the, trust me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope type thing. And I also thought that they would recast. I thought this would be the episode they recast Leia, but I was wrong.
Interesting.
Because I think they're going to.
You do. Well, is there something that tells you that? Because here's my, I would push back on that only because if they haven't recasted Luke yet, I don't see how they're going to recast Leia.
So my conclusion comes in two forms. The first one is, if they decide to keep kind of stay in this era of Star Wars, and I don't know how much they plan on doing that after this movie or after the movie, but if they do, they're going to eventually need to include Leia to prop, because again, Bloodline, I don't know if you've read it, but it is about kind of the pre-First Order time. And it is a canon book, but it does, obviously Leia plays a major factor in this, and they did a really good job skirting around the fact that Leia's like alive and very active right now. But I think they're going to have to recast her. And they did technically already do it. Like, they did recast her already. So, you know, that's pretty much, yeah.
What, with the little girl? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and Obi-Wan, they recast her. So it's not like it would be unprecedented.
Okay, that's fair. I buy it. Okay, so this other senator who's like really pushing back on them, like, honestly, my entire time, I don't think he's going to be important by any means, but I'm like, dude, if you're not an Imperial spy, I don't know what you are, because like, it seemed like he was just speaking against any sort of common sense here at this little round table. So yeah. And he insults the droids, which, you know, this is a pro droid podcast and we don't like people that bully the droids. So,
okay, I really didn't want to do this, but you're going to make me do this. Okay. Phantom Menace is one of my favorite Star Wars movies. And the reason for that is because I am a nerd, right? Like, I study political science. I am a nerd. I will therefore be, I loved every second of the Galactic Trade and, you know, all the trade blockade talk in that first episode of Star Wars. And I'll tell you, this single scene was probably the greatest thing the show has done. I think it's even better than The Return of Anakin. I actually did not like that episode as much as most people did. But this was like, when you're talking, like, because like, this kind of person, right? This person who's pushing back is the exact kind of person you get in every functioning democracy, right? And it's that kind of person who's not very smart, but is just a jerk for the sake of it and seems evil, but really isn't evil. Like, that's such a common theme in the way democracy is represented in media and also the way democracies actually work, that it felt just so perfect. And he's just trying to obstruct like the process and trying to do his own thing. And I'm not going to get super like into it, but I thought it was like perfect. And if he's unimportant, then that's even better, because that shows, you know, kind of the scale that and how important these people actually are.
That was really well said, because, you know, it's not that I looked at this person as unimportant as I did like idiotic. And then when you started to break this down, I pictured a lot of the American politics, and I won't talk about which sides, but they're all everywhere. Sides. All sides.
Yeah.
They're all dumb. So yeah, it's a very familiar feeling. So well said. Very well said, actually. What else? What else in the scene stood out to you? We get a little Carson Teva.
I mean, I think the other thing is Mon Mothma. I think she's become a very interesting character. And more so than, because I think she was a plot point for a long time. I think Andor really started to change that because she kind of became more of a, like a plot point who kind of just, you know, I think even in Rogue One, she was really a plot point to kind of get them to rebel, right? But it's interesting because she's always seemed like the most non-rebel leader of the rebellion. Like she hated the idea. It seems like she hates the rebellion as a concept. She just didn't like the Empire, which again is very like funny and how real it is as a concept. And this whole show does a really good job kind of, you know, taking the real life forming of America, right? And that Revolutionary War and then the post, the rebuilding era, and how they use that so well to kind of look at this New Republic time, right? It's something which, again, you know, you look at Star Wars, the original trilogy, what is the thing that it's there? It's all based off World War II, right? Like, obviously, the Stormtroopers and all that other stuff. Like, it's all taken inspiration from that. This takes a lot of inspiration from the American Revolution era, and I think that's what makes Star Wars so good, is when they take the inspiration from those events.
Yeah. Khloe, you're blowing my mind.
George Washington, by the way, in this whole scenario. Like, yeah, I'm being serious. Like, if you look at that George Washington, like, his vibe, hell, if you don't want to even do the research, just watch Hamilton and you'll see the George Washington in that, which is, you know, in that sense, similar to the real life George Washington, is, like, that's exactly what Mon Mothma is doing. Secret, like, publicly, Sass did, like, pretend she's not in with the rebels, and then, you know, can kind of be quietly like, okay, I, you know, hopefully you know what you're doing, right? Like, that's the exact scenario.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars, by the way.
I can tell. I love it. I love that you love Star Wars. Okay, well, let's move on to this other scene here where we are back.
We'll spend the entire time talking about that first scene of the.
I mean, I probably could do a whole separate podcast on like the parallels between, you know, American history and Star Wars for sure. So we'll put a pin on that one.
Yeah. That's our next collab.
Yeah. So yeah, we get back with Ahsoka and Hu Yang here, and they come to a stop, and we get all kinds of crazy stuff here. Okay, he's pulled out the Ahsoka book.
I love this book, by the way.
This is where they get into the minefield. They go into like the ring of the planet. What do you think about all this?
It was probably the most boring part of the episode, which I think it means the episode was really, really good because it felt like. It was almost like the worst kind of trope you could draw on when you come off that incredible scene and then the stuff that kind of happens afterwards, because it is quite literally like, oh, what are the odds of this happening? Oh, I like the odds. Oh, look, we're right. Like, there was no struggle, and it was very weird. I think this is, again, one of the weird, like, old Star Wars thing where it's like, let's make a joke. Oh, look, everything happened. It worked out nicely. Nothing. There's no further consequences to our actions. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is kind of like this is like one of those things that you like you're showing a friend Star Wars for the first time. They're like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, we know. OK, it doesn't. It just happened. OK, it happened this way. There's the Force. It's magical. They brought him here. Get past it. So.
And I have no issues with that explanation. I just think it was the. Kind of the weirdest thing they did in this episode and probably in this show. Like, there are these little moments where it kind of reverts to old Star Wars, so to speak. And by old, I mean sequels, movie Star Wars. And I think that's not the best version of Star Wars, obviously. I don't think anyone would agree. I think that's the case, but.
Yeah. I think the craziest part of this one for me is the minefield. And I think it's crazy because the mines are very systematically laid out into like a grid. And you see Ahsoka flying her ship like back and forth in and out of the grids, like weaving through it for no reason. When if you look at the minefield, like you could just fly straight in between them. So
I think the mines were moving, though. I think that's what they were showing. Okay. I think there was like a point where they showed one of them like activate and then start floating up. So I think they were moving.
Okay, that's fair.
I think if my memory serves, then I think they were moving. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll let them slide on that one then.
otherwise, I would have had the same issue. Like, if they weren't moving, and I'm just remembering this incorrectly, then yes, that was also.
Well, I think they were like motion activated, so when they got closer, they would light up and kind of get closer to the target. That's kind of the what I was getting from it. But
also, we don't know how big the explosions were, and you know, if you don't move enough above them, they'll still impact you, even if you're not like, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, well, another, I did really like them going through the debris field because it was kind of set up in a throwaway line at some point. I can't even remember, but somebody mentioned that the ring around the planet was like where the space whales go to die. So it was almost like a graveyard, and like all of those is like bones, and it's very interesting. And there's also like more life. Like we saw like space fish or something out there. So it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing much to say on the debris field.
You don't have any. Well, what about space fish?
Space fish are cool. I have a big problem with the creatures they've come up with for this different galaxy. Highly disappointed because the one planet they choose to go to is devoid of pretty much all life except for these little turtles. So I'm a little bit disappointed because Star Wars has so much potential there.
But. Yeah. Yeah, like you could have gone somewhere like what's that one planet in Revenge of the Sith, Felucia, I think, that has like all the beautiful flowers. Like they could have done something a little
more. They could have made it more than just a barren wasteland in another. Like if you're in another galaxy, like it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but now it's another galaxy, not that galaxy. Like, Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it feels like, God, you could have done something so cool and so creative, and you have turtles and rocks.
Yeah.
There's no even like cool natural like things in this. It's just grass and rocks.
So I want to talk about, I want to skip to Thrawn here in this episode. And there's a lot of different stuff going on with Thrawn. And here comes the Thrawn book.
I have the whole trilogy, but I only brought this one.
You just brought the one. So Thrawn, we get a lot of stuff here with Morgan and Enoch. We kind of see them plotting this whole thing. And I really love seeing Thrawn in this role. I mean, this is his role where he's like really just playing games with everybody the entire time.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're a big Thrawn guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, my two favorite characters in Star Wars are Ahsoka and Thrawn. So you could tell that this show is going to be great no matter what happened. But I do have one gripe with Thrawn, actually. Okay. And I think he's too light blue. And I think, or maybe it's just, his face is kind of a little, like, it looks a little bit puffy from the blue. Like, the way they've done the blue, it's not like, if you look, again, I'm going to use this book as an example. I know you can't see it properly, and there's probably people who can't see this at all. But if you look at this, it's very defined and dark, right? Mm. And I think the problem in the show is, and this was something we saw with Ahsoka when she appeared in The Mandalorian. If you go back and look at that Ahsoka versus the one we're getting now, it's almost like they kind of did half-ass, I can swear here, right?
Yes.
Okay, half-assed the makeups to the point where, like, they have, like, it's almost like it looks puffy and very light and looks like they just slapped paint on some guy's face. And I think when you're doing Thrawn, then you have to make it defined because he has to look like a physically intimidating person. But that, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think the big thing for me that helps this a lot is the fact that it is such a time jump for him, and he does look older than the younger Thrawn that we've seen in the past. But also, this isn't even the worst adaptation of a character we've seen, in my opinion. Back to the Grand Inquisitor, even Ahsoka. At first, I was like, this isn't quite the Ahsoka I know. So I think I'm just kind of used to like these characters showing up and being like, I guess that's them.
Ahsoka, Hera, they did a great job with the makeup from the jump. Ahsoka, yeah. It took them some time. Boba Fett, and obviously, I think Cad Bane had the same problem, by the way, with the face looking too puffy for someone who shouldn't, like, you've got to use prosthetics. And again, I know for the actors especially, it's like a nightmarish process, and it takes so much time. But I think, you know, if you're going to have someone, like, I hope for the movie, for example, that they kind of do spend that time, because I do think it adds to the character, because it makes them more intimidating. It makes them look more like an alien and less like in the original trilogy, you kind of got to excuse some of the poor looking aliens, but now there's really no excuse. Like, prosthetics exist. You can use them.
Yeah. I think the other thing is just in like a lot of the animation we've seen in the past, all of these characters have really tall heads. And, you know, cause my complaint about Ahsoka was that her horns were too small. And it just seems like everyone's kind of compressed down. All these actors have really round faces. The makeup doesn't help. I think better lighting might help a little bit too. I don't know. There's just, there are things that they could do. I agree.
Yeah. The prosthetic thing I think would help and I understand why they're not doing it, by the way, like it makes sense. But I think when you saw Zeb in The Mandalorian and you saw Hera right from the jump, they both looked really good. So it, and then Ahsoka, obviously her appearance has gotten more defined and which is good. I've got a problem with Ezra's appearance, but we'll talk about that one later.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk. Well, let me ask you about this. What do you think of Enoch, his little right hand man? He's somebody that kind of showed up a lot here, and there's a lot of theories about involving him. What's your take here?
Honestly, this is very weird to say. I don't have much of an opinion. I don't think I've gotten enough to make a make a definitive call on my opinion. I think it's interesting, but I think that's all I can say right now.
Okay. And I don't have like a great theory either. I mean, I think my theory
I haven't seen any of the theories.
Yeah. Well, I think the leading theory right now is him and the rest of the stormtroopers are like reanimated ghosts by the Night Sisters. I think that's kind of the popular theory. It's not that I necessarily think Enoch is a character we know or anything, but I do really, I just think aesthetically the voice, I'm all about this guy. So.
Have you seen the Thrawn? Have you read the Thrawn books?
I have not.
So if there's, I'm going to make a theory here. I don't even remember what happens at the end of the third one. So I don't know if this even is a valid prediction, but I think the guy who was his right-hand man for a long time, Eli Vanto, I think that's my theory right there. If you want a theory, again, I've not done enough research to be able to say definitively that's what I think it is. But that would be a cool kind of link to the books because they're technically canon. So
yeah, okay, well said. Well, let's cut back here to Sabine and Ezra, who they are kind of on the move here with the turtle crabs. I see you already have comments. What's on your mind?
Okay, I don't want to be negative because I really like the show.
You can be negative a little bit. It's okay.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna fine. You know what? I just got to pull up my notes because I actually wrote it really nicely here. Okay, here we go. So Ezra and Sabine are a very interesting contrast right now. Because I think, and then Ezra and Luke, that's the other contrast I want to make, okay? So Ezra and Sabine, it's very interesting because when you see them, and I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit to the fight scene, but I think this is probably the point where the contrast is kind of most evident. And when it's like, and we were joking about this before, but when Ezra's like, I don't need a lightsaber, right? And it kind of shows you this maturity, and it shows you that Sabine not only hasn't grown since Rebels, but has actually gotten more childish, right? And you kind of see who the real, and again, I feel like someone's going to take this out of context, but you kind of see who the real Jedi are and who the real Jedi aren't in this show. And it's almost like, because Ahsoka, Ezra, and Bail and Skull are the real Jedi in this, right? Or real force users. They're the pre-soldier force users, right? That's how they kind of act. Then Sabine and I don't remember her name.
Shin,
yes. They're the kind of warrior force users, right? They're the kind of Clone Wars era of like Jedi Knight type thing, right? And I think it's interesting because you look at that and you look at also the Luke and Ezra comparison, right? Where Luke, obviously, when he went off on his own, was bitter. And when Ezra came back, he's kind of still got the optimism, but he's still grown so much and has learned so much. I think Star Wars is full of great comparisons. I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't even necessarily see it as that he's grown. I think maybe as far as like a warrior a little bit, I think there's some commentary to be made there as how he might have grown. But I also see it as like he's kind of like trapped in like this immature form where like he came out here when he was very young and like there was nothing to influence him or can help him mature in any sort of way, because he does, like, personality wise I would say it's very similar to the character in Rebels. And I you know, you would think like if anybody were to become an old hermit like Luke, it would be Ezra in this situation. But the only thing that I can glean is the fact that maybe it affected him in a different way, as that he had no outside influence to change him.
Well, I think what it is boredom. Like, if you're just kind of on your own, obviously in Luke's case, he ran away and he was on his own and he kind of cut himself off from the Force. I think for in Ezra's case, and I think we'll see this because I think Baylan's going to be a key, not only a key factor in the season finale, not only for the season finale, but also for the movie, because I think there is something there which they're not showing us yet, for obvious reasons. But I think he's kind of gone into the Force more, right? And you kind of see this maturity, almost like actually the Luke jump would probably be the one from Empire to Return of the Jedi, right? Like he's taken that leap. And I think that's an important leap because I think that's when you really become a Force user, like in the Obi-Wan kind of meditative style and not in the, because he was not emotional in this episode in the same way. Like he didn't get aggressive or angry. He was really calm. And I think that's the sign of a Jedi who has grown. Like, I think that's what the Jedi strive to be, right? Are these calm, almost emotionless.
Well said. So honestly, we can really jump around at this point. It is gonna cut from one thing to another this entire time, but there were some interesting comments here. I like that Sabine's kind of catching Ezra up on what happened in the galaxy since, mentions the Battle of Andor, but then she mentions she says that Palpatine is dead, and then she's like, supposedly.
Yeah, that one was a little bit also like a weird moment where it's like, come on,
yeah,
like.
a little on the nose. Okay, well, why don't we talk about Baylan and Shin here? They're kind of
okay. Can I ask you a question to start off
okay.
this conversation about Baylan? Because this is a theory I've had, and I wanted to run it by you. Baylan, there's a who which former like Clone Wars era character does Baylan's fighting style most remind you of?
It's tough. It's tough because his is so distinct, more so than anyone else, in my opinion.
It's a little bit more aggressive version of someone's fight style, but I noticed so many similarities, especially the way they hold their lightsaber.
I was gonna
And
say Obi-Wan Kenobi.
no, Dooku.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree.
So if you look at the way, and this was early on especially, if you look at the way he held his lightsaber and the way he fought, it's like a slightly more aggressive version of like that Dooku fighting style. Because the Dooku fighting style, remember, was very like, it's probably the calmest evil person fighting style that we've seen, right? Like, it's literally, it doesn't even feel like it's fueled by rage. It's like very almost artistic. And I think Baylan has a little bit of that. And I think it would be interesting because I don't know what his age is. It's hard to judge ages at this point in Star Wars. But it would be interesting because it seems like he was in the temple at the end of the Clone Wars, I think. Like, I think that's what they're saying is he was a Jedi, I'm assuming at the end of the Clone Wars. So it'd be interesting if he had some interaction or had some connection to Dooku. Because if I don't know, I just get the vibes.
Okay, I could see like maybe more so, not necessarily like the physical fighting style, but more of the mindset that they might have while fighting, where it is like a lot more calm and sometimes a little more defensive even. But for me, like I always try to think about like, okay, if this Jedi's had a real sword, what would it be? And I picture Baylan with like a claymore or a long sword type, and I picture Dooku with more of like a fencing sword. That's typically how I think about these fighting styles. But I think you're right as far as like the calm, cool, collected aspect of the fighting
I just think
style.
it's weird to see someone who has a red lightsaber and is a bad person. I don't know what to label them as because they aren't really Sith. They aren't really, I don't know what they are. But like the people with the red lightsabers, like the dark side users, even though he doesn't even seem like a dark side, like he seems like there's something else going on. And it really sucks that I think Ray Stevenson plays him and he is no longer with us. So I wonder if they had plans for him, if they recast him, because that, I know that's like a little bit off topic, but that would be because I feel like there is more to him, but I don't, obviously you can't,
Well, since we're talking about Baylan here, I'm down to just kind of jump to. I think if we're left in a very weird place with Baylan. It seems like he kind of abandoned Shin in this whole fight. And even Thrawn says that he's gone missing. There seems to be another agenda here with Baylan. Do you have any sort of idea of what that could be?
I think this is the place the Force started. I think the Force started in on this planet, in this galaxy. I think the Force pretty much originated in another galaxy. And I think the way they're going to kind of play this off is the Force didn't come from this, the galaxy it ended up in. It was brought over, and essentially like the way to use the Force was brought over. And I think we're going to learn that all the Force is almost an invasive species in the galaxy that Star Wars takes place in. And I think we're going to learn more about the Force, because I think he was hinting at there being something else here. And I think that's what it is.
Interesting.
I don't think the Force, I mean, this all encompassing great energy. I think it's going to be this almost like virus almost type thing. And I think it's going to change the way we look at the Force, which could, because it feels like Disney Star Wars likes taking the swings. And I think they don't care if everyone's angry at them for doing something. So I think that would be kind of the most interesting way that they could do it. But that's my hunch.
I never considered that. My gut was like, okay, well, Baylan's probably just going to go try to screw over Thrawn and try to take over. I don't know.
He doesn't seem like he cares about power, though. It looks like there is a legitimate purpose. I think he's trying to, I think we're going to learn the origins of the Force. It also fits within the plan of what the other stuff that we think are theoretically coming from Disney Star Wars based on what they've announced. We know there's a plan to do some stuff when it comes to the origin of Jedi and Sith and, you know, High Republic kind of, and a little bit probably pre that, obviously Acolyte is going to be dealing with that earlier era. So I think they're going to start looking at the origin of the Force, and they're going to realize like even before the known history, it came from another galaxy, because that feels the Force wheels go there, which means there has to be some real connection to the Force, right? Like they're not just traveling there because, right? They're traveling there because maybe they're the reason the Force has moved from galaxy to galaxy. I don't know.
That I do like that, because it would explain why the Purrgil are drawn to it, how Ahsoka got there, how they got there originally. That would explain that and kind of, you know, get rid of like the odds of it all. So
also the other part of this is like, I'm going to hope that they don't have a planet that looks like a deserted wasteland in areas. And it's not like just an accident that it's there, and that there is a reason, like that there is kind of a bigger reason that it's there, and that it's like that. Like it looks like that. It's not because it was never like, you know, a thriving planet, but maybe it was because there was some event, right, which made it look like that. Also, the witches being there is weird to me. I'm not sure about that one right now, but
it's a little weird. Yeah.
Because they obviously come from Dathomir, which is in the other galaxy. And they obviously, we know they weren't with Thrawn when he left in Rebels. So that means they were already there, mm-hmm. or they came after and probably were already there. And so maybe, you know, the witches are the, you know, maybe they kind of were the original Force wielders, and, you know, I don't know. There's lots of possibilities, but I think the origin of the Force is in this galaxy.
And this is why you need to play the Jedi games, because they do explore a lot of this Night Sister stuff, and it's really cool. They basically are like, there is like, you know, a parallel to be made between the Jedi and the Night Sisters. And I think that it will, when I said that I think that those characters will come into play, I think this is where it is. I will say, I think that at least what they're selling us, they could be a lie. I don't know why they would kind of lie about it right now, but they seem to be trying to make us believe that the Night Sisters originated here and then possibly moved to Dathomir later. So
and
that's
they
kind of
the Force with them. Like maybe they were the people who brought the Force over, so to speak. Like, we don't, like, I don't know what the original version of these Night Sisters were, right? Because we saw the kind of modern version of them on Dathomir, right? But we don't know where their origins came from. Like, maybe they're pure creations of the Force, right? Like, or this thing called the Force, or maybe they're infected. Because, like, they also look very different. And again, I know it's live action versus animation, but they look much almost worse than the, like, they look kind of like broken and almost like diseased, right?
They look older, yeah. That's what I said last week.
So I think it's interesting, because if they are like, if you look at the Force as like a disease instead of like this, you know, nice, cool energy thing that can be used for good or evil, that would also kind of even explain kind of Luke's feelings toward the Force, right? Because Luke was very anti-Force post, obviously, like when he shows up in The Last Jedi. I still think there is something that we're missing and that they're going to show us. Maybe I'm thinking too much into this. It's very likely, but you know, that's why we're here, right?
Okay. I mean, it would definitely make for a hell of a finale. So, let's talk about this fight scene we get here with the Raiders versus the Crabs and Sabeam and Ezra. This is where we get Ezra really using those force powers, which I really loved that choice. I thought that was really cool. I think it made a lot of sense for him. And then Shin here as well. And then Ahsoka comes in later. But yeah, what did you think about this whole fight scene?
Okay, first of all, do those Raiders look like the Praetorian guards from The Last Jedi? They do, right? It's not
yeah.
me?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit.
So is that lack of creativity or is there something deeper there?
I think they're different enough. And it's more so like just, you know, it's Star Wars, it rhymes type deal.
Again, it's like poetry. So if they rhyme.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lack of creativity, but like everything kind of builds off of each other.
Yeah, but rhyming versus steel. I don't know. I think they could really easily solve this by having like the Raiders also join the Thrawn force, and then, you know, them just being around the Empire would explain the design thing, or have Thrawn kind of invent the Praetorian Guard, which ends up being Palpatine / Snoke's thing. I don't think that's a spoiler at this point. It's so many years old.
I feel like if you're stretching anywhere, that's the stretch.
Well, I'm saying if you might as well, like if you know they look the same, you might as well just say, okay, you know what? Let's have Thrawn be instrumental. Like maybe he creates the first version of them, and because I don't know, it just feels like a very weird continuity thing if Thrawn has no part in this.
Yeah,
and okay. And it's just coincidence that they look the same as these people from this other galaxy. But
fair enough. I will say the one thing that I don't love, I don't know, I'm a little conflicted. I think it makes sense, but also like they keep letting Shin get away. Like they had every opportunity to at least capture her, and they didn't. They just
I think
let
that's a story
off.
Thing, though. That's a story thing, right? What that's one mean? Of the moments where like they need her around for the
oh,
story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like it's overly convenient for her to be able to run off like that. And I will say, like, it makes sense from Ahsoka's point of view, where she's like, she's really come to peace of like being the more like monk type Jedi, where she's not really here to kill per se. But you know, this chick has been a thorn in your side for a while. You could have done something.
But like, how? Okay, here's the other question: how do you capture her? Like, what do you do? They don't. Do they have like force sensitive? Like, you can't really do anything.
Ezra can force push her down, and then Sabeam can lasso her with her. Like, there's so many.
I don't think that works. Like, I think right now everyone's just playing the game of we got to get off the stupid planet before the people who have the ability to get off do. Like, I think everyone's just kind of like, whoever's left afterwards is screwed anyways. So let's just get the hell out of here. Like, I think they're kind of thinking, okay, well, if she's leaving, then, you know, we'll just play the game of maybe she doesn't actually even get back, right? Like,
okay.
There's so I think they're ever just playing the game of like we have to get out of here because the only way we have a chance to be any impact is if we get out of here, right? Thrawn is trying to do that. Apart from I guess Baylan, who seems to have no interest in leaving, but like everyone else has an interest of like just leaving as fast as possible.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that explanation. So, what else? What else here in the fight? There was we talked about Ezra using his force powers a lot. What about the choice of him not using the lightsaber?
I thought it was great. Look, I don't think, like, I think they need to get away from the Jedi equals lightsaber thing because I think that's a, like, it's never been true. And it's like, and I think that was kind of my initial hesitation with Sabine being a Jedi because I think the biggest thing is always, like, the force is in everyone. Right, but Jedi is not about lightsaber. Anyone can have can use the lightsaber. So, like, no one called Grievous a Jedi. Grievous was very good at using lightsabers, multiple of them. Right, he had a whole collection of them. And I think we're kind of blurring the line, like the definition of Jedi or Padawan. And I think it doesn't matter because they're all words. But at the same time, it does kind of say, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone gets mad about something like that, but that's not what a Jedi is. How many times did Palpatine wave his lightsaber around? Like, he was a very powerful force user, but he didn't need to, right?
Well said. Yeah, no, that's a great comparison. And yeah, I think it makes total sense to me to like, he doesn't need a lightsaber. So I think that's a really cool element.
Well, the force as a weapon is the Jedi's like weapon. That is what, like, even their ability to use the lightsaber the way they do is not a matter of like, it's because it's a lightsaber, right? It's because they're that they can use the Force in combination with this blade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yep. I mean, I don't know. I think people get mad about stupid things.
No, nobody's mad about that. We're fine here.
I'm sure the internet. I'm sure someone on the internet who's mad about that.
No Stark Wars listeners, right, guys?
Hopefully not. No.
Okay, well, hey, that's kind of... I know you have notes. Is there anything else that we missed going through?
I'm going to go... Let me look at my... I thought... Oh, the other thing, which, again, I don't... It's not much, but the... Oh, yeah, there's three things, actually. One, the witches being able to use... Like, interfere in the Force, like, in Force communications is kind of crazy to me. Because they're Ahsoka sending Sabine the message, and they kind of intercepted it, and that was very... creepy and cool, and was like, oh, this got a little bit deeper and there's a little bit more to this now. I don't know what you thought about that, or if that was something which kind of struck you.
No, I mean, it's definitely interesting. There's definitely more to it with the Night Sisters and the Force. What's interesting to me, and the thing that I keep going back to, is how much they hate the Jedi. Like, they call Sabine an it because she was a Jedi. So there's something here where, like, is there a bit of jealousy? Is there a bit of, like, you're on our turf, maybe? I don't know. There's I think there's a lot more to be said there, and you might be onto something with, like, the origins of the Force and all that.
And they also use red lights instead of green magic, like green flames, like the ones that we're used to do. Mm. Which is interesting, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
but so I want to ask you a question quickly.
Okay,
because I know you do this on your podcast.
Okay,
and I'm gonna kind of flip the cards, but if you had to predict a character to cameo in this last episode, and again, I know you do this before the start of every show, or at the start of every show, which character that we have not seen yet in any of these live action shows?
Oh, that's hard, because I already had one, but...
You could give me that one, but I wanted who outside of the box, kind of like, you know, like that we haven't seen any of these live action shows. Now, movies are fine, but not shows.
Let me Google Star Wars Rebels characters, because my initial, when you said
your
that,
answer's gonna be Zeb.
Yeah, I was going to say Zeb. Easy. That's so easy. Let's see. All right. There's a couple things I see that could be a possibility. Could we get a Force Ghost Kanan?
Potentially.
Yeah,
I like that one. I'm surprised they go Callus after that one, but
yeah, that's the other one. I don't know. I think that's it. I'm looking at some of those.
I have an answer as in a prediction as someone who I think, and this basically fits exactly what we're talking about. I think we're going to get some version of Mother Talzin.
Ooh,
I feel very, very confident in some way or another assuming the last episode involves them actually getting back to the other universe or their galaxy or whatever, I think we're going to get a Mother Talzin kind of cameo. Either as, like,
she's dead now though, right?
But remember, she's come back multiple times since she died as, like, a bunch of green flames. We've seen this a whole bunch since she died. She died a long time ago.
I could see her back. Yeah, and more so, like, you know, quote unquote, whatever the version of a Night Sister Force Ghost is, I could see something like that. My thing is, if they were going to, like, bring her back, why have these three witches? And also, if she were to come back, then it's four witches and you don't get the, like, three witch parallel. I don't know.
But you already have Morgan, who's a witch, or
that's true.
Whatever her name is. Like, she's a witch too, right? So
yeah, I guess so.
Like, I feel like there's some bigger person who is, because, like, there's no big fish in this show except Thrawn as, like, the villain, right? Like, it seems like everyone else is just, like, somebody's pawn. And I don't think Thrawn is smart. Like, Thrawn is smart enough. I don't think Thrawn is powerful enough, like, from a physical perspective to be able to orchestrate something like this on his own. Right, like, I think there has to be another, like, even Palpatine was operating in the same, you know, galaxy as everybody else, and even he needed, like, a bunch of other people, you know, to be a part of his, like, big plan, right?
Yeah.
And this is across galaxies. Like, do you really think Thrawn is able to get all of, like, he's good in, if it's, like, you know, within his galaxy and within his even, like, system, right? But he, I've never seen in all the Thrawn we've gotten, I've never seen him be able to orchestrate something this big purely on his tactical ability, which are amazing and tremendous, right? But I just feel like there has to be some, like, actually powerful person who is helping him, because now maybe he has them, maybe he has found a way to control Mother Talzin or something, and that is what it is. Maybe there's another Jedi or another Sith or evil person. Maybe it's Palpatine. I don't know, but I just don't think, like, how do you orchestrate that? It doesn't make sense to me, as much as I love Thrawn and assume he can do everything.
Yeah. I can see that. And I think the answer would be Palpatine in a way, because I do kind of, I get the vibe that the Night Sisters are going to be involved in the resurrection of Palpatine. And that's where we're going with this is what I think. But yeah, I don't know.
Also, Mother Talzin and Palpatine did have a decent relationship. Well, at least with, she had a decent relationship with Dooku, who had a relationship, you know, because obviously Asajj Ventress and was Dooku's apprentice. And obviously, they also did the Darth Maul thing, right?
So there is
a close relationship there. So I think Asajj Ventress would also be the other person who could come back in, like, some weird, like, hybrid, half alive kind of form.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. It's one of my favorites. So,
because she hasn't been live action at all yet, right?
Nope.
Ooh, actually, I like that one more.
I don't know, like, if I don't know if you're aware or if the audience is aware. I don't want to spoil too much, but it does seem like, you know, her book has ended, but I don't like the way it ended. So I would like to see her back.
Well, I mean, and look, at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Do you think there's, like, something else that's, like, hidden? Because, like, it feels like there's some piece that's, like, missing in all of this.
I just don't think the piece is there yet. I think we're going to get the piece, and I think the piece is Palpatine.
But, like, is that not, like, just, like, a cop-out? Because it's like, oh, but Palpatine's doing this stuff, and, you know, Palpatine's involved. Like, the Palpatine reveal already was kind of lame as it is, right?
And Tommy said something similar to me, but for me, I do want that explanation. I want to see it happen. I want, yeah.
But I don't know. I think I've always had a problem with Palpatine being, like, this overwhelming force, because it always felt like he was just, like, it didn't seem like he was smart enough to do all this. And it's like, he's like, if you look at, like, the previous Sith, right? And it's like, he seems like the stupidest of all of them, just from an, like, a, like, intelligence standpoint. And yet he's done all this stuff. I feel like there's so many people who are smarter than him in this universe. And, like, he got beat by a child and some half burned man. Like, you know, it's not like he shouldn't. He almost got beat by Mace Windu and then got a lucky break from the guy he's been, like, trying to turn against everyone for, like, you know, I don't know. I think there's just so many problems, and maybe it's because we saw so much of his, like, Chancellor side, but I just don't think he's smart enough to. Now, what if it's Jar Jar?
Now you're really talking to the Stark Warriors.
I know. I knew exactly how to, but, like, those turtle people remind me a lot of the Jar Jar people.
Okay. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
You can't tell you don't see it. You can't tell you don't see it.
There's, like, some, like, cultural things that are different. I think the Gungans were prepared for war. Nomads. Yeah, maybe. I can see it. A little bit.
I mean, Jar Jar was a nomad because he was exiled.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I don't know. I feel like there's something else, though. Maybe Jar Jar is on this planet.
Everyone go listen to Where's Jar Jar. It's not one of our conclusions, but it's possible.
I thought that the Where's Jar Jar is a good listen to. And mainly just that. I mean, the whole thing's a great listen to, but that intro, man, it's so good.
It's fire.
Like, all these times I just listen to that first intro and I'm like, oh my God, that's such a good intro.
We appreciate it, Khalil. Khalil, thank you so much for doing this. I know you said you changed the name of your podcast. I got it wrong. So clear it up for everybody. Tell everybody where they can find you and what you're up to.
Honestly, just go to the comic boy. It's comic boys underscore on social media, because if I tried to explain to you how we currently have another podcast with other people, and then also we're, like, our entire podcast, which used to be just me and Alon, is now going to, we have, like, 11 new people. We're launching, like, 3 new podcasts in this, like, by the middle of October. So just follow us on social media, because then all of that becomes less important. And then you can find all our stuff. Because again, I really don't have the time to, I can't explain it to people who I have hours to explain it to. So it's very complicated. There's a lot of content and a lot of me and a lot of me talking to people who are very important and very famous. So, yeah,
I love,
there's a lot of stuff happening. Like literally there's too much stuff happening. So it's going
to
be good.
I like the tease. Yeah. I'm excited to see what you have to come in the future. Before we close out here, though, I got to ask you this. We like to close with recommendations. Is there anything you've been watching, reading, doing that you want to recommend to the audience?
I feel like you stole this from me because I end all my podcasts with this too. But
we've always done this.
So have we. Okay. Well, it's okay. We both borrowed it from each other. Let's go with that one. I want to talk about Harley Quinn, the Harley Quinn show, because I think people forgot that there's a fourth season, which just finished. That show is the best animated or the best DC project ever, because it does something that Young Justice does, but it does on an even higher level. And that is, it goes from that kind of like, you know, crazy, like Simpsons, Family Guy kind of humor to like this amazing character development, heartfelt, like anti-sitcom almost stuff. So quickly, and it is just like, it is the perfect show. Like there's literally no fault. It's not boring, it's not too long, it's, you know, fun. The cast is amazing. They're doing the Kite Man spinoff. It's an incredible show, and if you haven't seen it, apparently a 10 episode fourth season, it can be the most like emotionally like turbulent thing. And a bunch of animated characters who like literally would say something and they have like this amazing moment and then smash someone's head. It's, have you seen it?
I watched the first season.
Okay. Why haven't you watched the second, third?
Oh, and here's my thing. You said there's no fault, and it's not really a fault. I think it's more of a personal taste thing. It's a little too silly for me.
See, I think because you watched the first season, I think they kind of got more mature. I would actually tell you, like, it does get more, like, you like that kind of Simpsons.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Like, by no means am I clowning on this show. There's just so much to watch, and things fall to the wayside all the time for me.
Yeah.
So by no means is it, I'm not really hounding on the show. But if I had to pick a reason, that might be why. I'm not, like, big into comedies a lot. And it is good to hear that it possibly steps to the side a little bit more and has, like, more meaningful heart to the show as well.
Yeah, they do kind of. I think the first season was a little bit more just fun chaos, and then I think they kind of find themselves a little bit more. Now I do understand that, because like my TV watching is exclusively either old sitcom rewatching or the one, you know, the Disney stuff, and then, you know, just these random short shows, because I don't have the attention span to watch like multiple like 40 to an hour long like a minute long shows that are like serious and boring. Like I don't have the time for that or the attention span. So this is kind of my area to thrive. But I do also want to say shout out to Lights Camera Rant.
Oh yeah, hit 1,000 YouTube subscribers. That's awesome.
He's killing it, man.
Yeah,
so shout out to him. I need to, you know, shout him out, because I know he's going to be watching this. So
he will. You know. He definitely will. Khalil, I have to run and go watch Saw. So
let me know how that is, by the way.
I will. I'm going to close this out here. I like to remind everybody to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe, because we're going to be here every single week. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. I'm also going to put Khalil's social media in the show notes, so check him out as well. Ask us for our Discord link, because we have a Discord community going on and we'd love to have you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
And if you just type my social media into there, you get all the stuff too. So I've done it. It works. It's beautiful. I love the internet. Anyways.
Bye. Thank you.